This is Matt Wells at UN News, a chief reason for the high level of peace, stability and prosperity enjoyed by many countries across the world over the past 70 years is the ongoing work of the International Court of Justice, or ICJ. That's the view of Judge Abdulkawi Ahmed Yusuf of Somalia, president of the ICJ, the principal judicial organ of the UN, tasked with putting into effect the rule of law established by the United Nations Charter. After Judge Yusuf briefed the Security Council on Wednesday on the work of the court over the past year, he spoke with Mustafa Al-Gamal of our UN News Arabic service and started by explaining the difference between the ICJ and the ICC, or International Criminal Court.
The International Court of Justice is the principal judicial organ of the United Nations. Its mission is the peaceful settlement of disputes among states through the law. So I'm surprised when you ask me how do we differ from the ICC, because the ICC is a recently created organ. It is not an organ of the United Nations. It is based on the Statute of Rome. It is the ICJ, which is the highest court. That's why it's called the World Court. And it is the principal judicial organ of the United Nations. And we have been settling disputes among nations in order to ensure peace and security in the world for the past 73 years, as I say. We have handled more than 300 conflicts among nations, many of which would have actually escalated into war if it was not for the judgment of the International Court of Justice. We have also a second function, because the first function is the settlement of disputes among states. And the second function is to provide advisory opinions to the other organs of the United Nations. So the Security Council requests for advisory opinions from the court, and we provide it. The General Assembly requests advisory opinions from the court, and we provide it. And at present, we have 17 cases pending before us from all the continents of the world, from Africa, from Asia, from Latin America, from Europe. And we also have one advisory opinion requested by the UN General Assembly. So we are extremely busy. And since the beginning of this year, we have received 5 new cases, 2 of which actually involved orders for provisional measures of protection, which means the states concerned asked the court to act urgently and to issue protection measures for their rights.
Judge Abdulkawi, you just briefed the UN Security Council. What were the main points you highlighted in your speech?
Today is UN Day. It is 24 October. And the UN Charter entered into force on 24 October. And I found it opportune and appropriate to address the Security Council on the rule of law at the international level, because it is thanks to the UN Charter that we have a rule-based international system which protects all the peoples of the world, and thanks to which many peoples of the world have also been emancipated. They have been liberated from foreign domination and foreign colonization. And it is thanks to this rule of law under the Charter that we have had a high degree of stability, peace and prosperity among nations in the last 70 years. And it is on the basis of the UN Charter also that our court operates and settles disputes among nations. So our court would not have existed if there was no rule of law at the international level. And so I thought that I would engage in a dialogue with the Security Council today, the 24th of October, on the necessity of strengthening and upholding the rule of law at the international level, and that was the theme of my exchange with them.
Are the ICJ rulings binding?
The rulings of the ICJ are binding on all the states that come before the court. And we don't act without the consent of the states, and that actually makes it easy for states to accept the binding nature of our decisions.
You've mentioned that you have 17 cases pending before the court at the moment, five of which from this year. Could you mention a couple of them?
For example, this year we have received three cases relating to the issues that have arisen among countries in the Gulf. There was a case brought to us by Qatar against the United Arab Emirates. There are two cases that have been brought by United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia against Qatar on matters relating to aviation and overflight and the jurisdiction of the International Civil Aviation Organization. So these are three cases. Iran brought a case this year also against the United States concerning the sanctions imposed by the United States on Iran. And we have very recently received a case brought by the Palestinian state, the state of Palestine, to the court regarding the relocation of the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem.
The ICJ has ruled in the case of the Iran versus the U.S. The following day, the U.S. has announced that they might pull out of the mutual agreement, the agreement of amity, I believe, between the United States and Iran. What would happen in that situation if the U.S. pulls out? Would the ICJ ruling still be valid?
Well, you know that what matters is whether a treaty or an agreement existed between the two states at the time the application was submitted to the court. Mm. And of course, the treaty was in force when the application was brought to the court. We have not yet ruled on the case as such. We have just issued an order of provisional measures because Iran requested the court to issue an order on provisional measures to have certain rights protected while the case is being considered by the court, because the consideration of a case by the court goes through different phases. And in this case, you know, we have just started dealing with the case, but if the applicant asks for protection measures, provisional protection measures, we issue an order on such protection measures, provided that we feel that we have a prima facie jurisdiction on the matter. So that's what we have done, but we have not yet dealt with the case as such on the merits nor on jurisdiction.
Has the United States accepted that ruling?
The United States, of course, will have to accept the ruling of the court, as all other states, because the court acted on the basis of a compromissory clause between the United States and Iran. But the United States can still and has the possibility of challenging the jurisdiction of the court. So we have not yet come to the stage where the jurisdictional hearings would be held by the court. So the United States has always the possibility to say that they believe that the court does not have jurisdiction, and I believe they said that, but the court will hold hearings on that in due time.
You've mentioned three cases regarding the Gulf states, namely Qatar against the United Arab Emirates, and two cases going the other way, the UAE, Bahrain, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia. And what has happened in these cases? Are they still pending?
All the three cases, of course, are still pending before the court. The only case on which we had a request for provisional measures was the case submitted by Qatar against the United Arab Emirates, because it was a case concerning human rights, and therefore Qatar wanted certain rights to be protected while the case takes its course in the different phases through which it goes before the court. So we issued that provisional order on provisional measures in July, and we are now going to pass on or to move on to the other phases of the case. But the two other cases have not yet been instructed. We have given a timeline to the parties to submit their written pleadings, because the parties have to be given time to submit their written pleadings, and I believe that they will do so, and then we will take it up from there.
I wanted to ask you about the order of the Iran-US ruling, the ICJ order ordering the US to lift the impediment arising from these sanctions. There was a clause saying by means of its choosing. Could you explain that? Wouldn't that be, like, in a way, giving them a backdoor to go around the ruling?
No, the court does not interfere with the tools or the toolkit that is at the disposal of a state, whether it is legislation, whether it is executive order, whether it is other means that a state uses or other measures that a state may adopt in order to remove certain constraints. So it is up to that state to do certain things the way it normally does under its domestic legal order. So we do not interfere with that domestic legal order. We simply tell the state what should be done, but it is up to the state to decide how it should do it.
And what if a certain state does not abide by a ruling of the ICJ? What would happen then?
Well, you know, in this case, the case has not yet come to
a final judgment.
In general, one is a judgment is issued, because we have not yet issued a judgment on this case. And we have not yet also established that we have definite jurisdiction in this case. But once the court recognizes that it has jurisdiction and it hears the merits, the case on the merits, and it issues a final judgment, this final judgment must be enforced by both parties, because it's possible that both parties may have certain obligations with respect to the dispute between them. And if the parties do not enforce it, either of the parties has the right to raise it before the Security Council. And the Charter of the United Nations entrusts to the UN Security Council the final decision on the enforcement of the judgments of the court.